Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
He and me, you know, all kinds of it. And that was, everybody was crying in the theater at that time, you know. It was a very delicate touch sort of a thing, and I guess about that time I dropped off to sleep again. But I when I stopped to think of it, that was a touchy thing to do, because so often your spacing and your timing can begin to jitter or something, you know, if everything doesn't coordinate exactly right. And it could not be a real kiss. It could not be a smoochy thing. It could not be the sort of thing you often see in the television about 10 times a night.
Yeah, it's going to be very delicate.
And then she had to wake up, and that had to be delicate. I wouldn't want to have to do a scene like that today. I don't think I could.
Yeah. And for those days, that was an epic.
Well, I often the studios didn't have 40 people working in the whole staff. And
yeah,
Disney
right.
had 40 people just doing effects. And I forget, there was an Italian fellow, his name is...
Jerry Geronimo?
No, he was one of the directors, but he also came out from New York. But this man worked on that one, well, I was thinking now, especially of the one wave in Fantasia, where the wave hit this tall rock and dashed up.
Mm-hmm.
I think he spent a day on each drawing on that thing.
Yeah.
And,
you're right, they couldn't make anything like
that. Nobody, well, the men that were trained in the department are gone, you know. They've grown through. The people that took over inherited the responsibility of animation. Just couldn't do Walt's thinking. I don't know why they let it get that far away from them, but they're way back beyond the starting point. I mean, at the time that I went to Disney, there were 15 of the very best New York animators, fellows who are master, fellows like Bill Teitla, Art Babbitt, and Norm Ferguson. You go through the list. There were icon of them once. Well, Seamus Culhane, the fellow who phoned me this morning, he was an assistant to Bill Roberts, and yet in any other studio he was the number one animator. But he developed into a real excellent Pluto animator over there at Disney. He became the first line animator. There were second, third, and fourth line animators who followed up the head animators. But Walt not only had his own staff that he had developed, and I won't bother to name them because some of the names are a little vague, but fellows like Freddie Moore, who really made the drawers come to life, a terrific young draftsman, and three or four others. I'd have to refer to the names, but he had developed a marvelous staff of artists himself. So he must have had at least 25 of the best animators in the entire world. There was maybe somewhere in Europe one studio had one man that could be as good as these were, but now who have they got? They have the last one left over there. Yeah. There may be two or three of them, but that was the unfortunate thing, doing the small one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the director and on down through the animators, or starting with the story man. They forgot what they were working on. It was a deeply religious picture, and they brought in a lot of clowns and did things that were in no way related to what they were saying. And that's judgment up at the top of the studio. when you lose that, somebody should have said, no, don't animate this. It's out of the theme. It doesn't belong in this picture. And teeth ended way back with Bluto and Popeye, the big teeth. These kids thought was funny, you know, but we shut down on that 35 years ago. You, for instance, the greatest villain that Disney ever had, in Pinocchio, what is his name? The Geppetto? Who was the big guy with the puppets? Stromboli.
Stromboli, yeah.
He had teeth, but you were never conscious of them because they were handled by a master animator. And yet he was 10 times meaner than all of the dental work you saw in the small one. These guys were dancing there with teeth this long, you know, about $8,000 worth of dental work, and no reason for it. There was no purpose for it. It just didn't belong in the story. You didn't see that picture. You'll see it. It's showing in the theaters.
It was interesting because we saw one of the old studio movies along with the newest.
So you get a good comparison.
We did, yes.
Well, they should have tied a few of the old. Now they brought in new musicians who should have had brains enough not to write a song like that in a story of the birth of Christ. It didn't belong. It just, everything they did there should have started from the beginning, toning into the feeling of what you're coming up to. And even when they showed the Star of Bethlehem at the end, I don't recall that we saw Joseph and Mary on their way to Bethlehem, did we? Was the donkey
yes.
in there?
Yes, yes.
Was it in the distance? Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't even conscious of that being in there, but that should have been very important.
Yeah, played up a little bit more to it.
Yeah.
So,
well, anyway.
So people could understand it, yeah. It was left vague.
But those were the things that were never overlooked in making a picture back in the days when Walt was there. Not only that, he had the beginners working on the pictures, but they were always supervised by one of the older animators who would simply say, don't do this. It was outdated 20 years ago or something like that. Do it this way. I've always felt that animation is more nearly related to composing a big piece of music than it is to drawing pictures. You can illustrate a child's book and each page can be different. And you don't mind it because the reading explains to you what is happening. But when you're tying together interrelated scenes in a picture with perhaps nothing but a musical score to carry it, then the story should be written to fit the musical score. As you noticed in Pinocchio, when the cricket was disturbed in his sleep, mm-hmm. the goldfish bothered him, Geppetto's snoring bothered him, the cat bothered him, and then all the alarm clocks went off all over the place. The story men gave him all sorts of things to work with, and the animator was good enough to incorporate every one of these things into his animation.
Look who we have.
Hi, do.
Clarence Nash, Marjorie Eden from Jacksonville, Oregon.
I heard you over the telephone this morning when you were talking with Jenny.
You know, Paul Mayer.
Hi, we have never met.
Oh, I thought you had, Clarence Nash.
I didn't get up from this.
You have a guy by the name of Grim Natwick, I can tell, by the way.
I can't.
I've been an old friend of yours not very long ago to, where was it? Oh, Disneyland. Yeah. We happen to be in, I can't remember his name now.
Would you gentlemen like some coffee?
We happen to be,
would you like me to serve?
What?
None for you? Grim, how about some coffee?
How do you like it?
A little cream, no sugar.
A little cream, no sugar.
Well, I have to be careful, I'm driving. I don't know just whether that would be good for me when I'm driving.
I don't know.
Well, just a half a cup, you know.
Half a cup
just
of
straight,
coffee.
Just straight.
Straight. Straight.
Yeah, well, I don't think that I get arrested for driving that much.
Here we go. I think we have the...
You know what I've got here, Graham?
Looks like a magic trick.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing I get that these things would fit in, and I bought it at a camera shop for $5. It was a used one. Well, several months ago, a relative of my wife was visiting us. She's with, her husband was with Northeastern Airlines. And of course, she was bumped for a day or so, and she stayed at our house. And with us, one morning we had, I had Cheerios for breakfast. And I said, doggone, these Cheerios helped me buy my first truck and camper for residuals.
That's history, isn't it?
Yeah. Donald and his nephews did a commercial on that, and I made enough to pay for my first truck and camper. And I said, I guess I'm, and then I did one time, I did Mickey's voice on a commercial. I don't know what it was I did now, what that commercial was. And that paid good too. But, and then I told him, I said, I guess I'm through doing commercials. 5 minutes after breakfast, the studio called, wants you to do a commercial. It was just a one shot, no residuals, but it was so funny.
Oh, that's,
It was in the morning. They called me, I mean, and then the next day or so later, I went over, I did, it was a radio, just a one-spot radio. Disney is reducing some of their educational and cartoons in Super 8 and sound. Besides paying me, they gave me a reel of $5 cartoons. Excerpts from it. And so I became a nut. I've got a Super 8 sound camera, and I'd like to get some movies of us, just
sure,
no, some of us.
Here you are. Now, I can film it for you if you like.
Yeah.
Show me how it's
but
done.
But one thing, we can't have, I mean, well, this would be right that way, because then it won't be backlighting. That's one thing about that.
Yeah.
You could take just a regular light in a room. This is such a sensitive film.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. And...
Let me get you out of the way.
This is an old Bolex case, and gee whiz, look at. I was up in Canada for Mickey's 50th birthday. And I was up there again in, before then, in August, for a testimonial for a good friend of mine who became Disney representative in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And he retired. And, you know, this last time I was up there, I cashed a check for $200, and I got $234 back in the Canadian money. And the Super 8 sound film up there is $2 cheaper than it is down here. I wish I'd have bought a half a dozen more. I've got another one at home, and I've got another magazine here, and just a few feet in this yet. And I get more kick out. I've got my young daughter, she's on her 21st birthday, she had her first child. She's 4'10" and she's her oldest boy about 6 feet.
Oh, we've got loud hair.
And she was brought up on goat milk and she loved goats. So she got a nanny goat one time and she got rid of it several months ago. But no one else would milk it in the family, she would. And I got cute movies of her milking. You can hear that milk hit the pail. And she'd get a quart and a half in the morning, a quart and a half in the evening.
Is that, well, does she keep a goat now?
Huh?
Does she still keep a goat?
Oh, no, she, because it was too confining, they like to travel a little now and then, too, you know. They lived in Hawaii, in Oahu, for about 7 years, and had one child born there, a little redhead. He's 9 years old.
Thanks.
The two older boys said, Mama, is he going to be a Hawaiian?
Would either of you be interested in a piece of cake?
Oh, Jenny, I might take a bite.
Jenny fixed a lemon sponge cake.
Looks delicious.
There she's on and ready to shoot. I'll test that. Yeah, she's okay. See, I got about 9 feet yet. No, maybe little, almost 10 feet. Then I put another magazine. But this is something that I'd like to get all of us in it later on, but
okay.
Just for the heck of it.
Is Donald's going to be able to come?
You just push on that Oh yeah, I'd like to get Dawes too.
Vance?
I think
he said he would call if he couldn't make it.
Oh, so he's still...
And I haven't heard... Oh my God, this is reminiscent of a lot of...
So I'd like for you to... you know, any time, you can just go ahead. And can you get both of us in here? Get over here close.
Because
I've got something here I want to...
Journey parade.
All set? You tell me when you're shooting.
Okay, now there's that red part of the screen. That's to show the light, right?
Yeah, you get plenty of light. Just push on the button there.
And it's all focused.
Yeah.
It is, self-focused.
Yeah, yeah. Say, Grim, you know... Several years ago, when you worked at Disney Studios, I never forgot you, because I've always kept a little thing here that was given.
Grim's old hair trigger.
The label just came off of it today.
I want to put it back on. Card. I got 144 bottles, and I had the errand boy. Distribute these around. Yeah, I had. Could buy these miniatures at that time. You can't buy them anymore.
It was such an unusual Christmas card that I kept it, Grim.
Marvelous, isn't that?
I guess that's just about
it. What the deuce is that?
By golly, back in the 30s, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you see that? You can see it later.
Is that good?
Well,
That's all shot now, isn't it?
How do I know that it is?
Well, you see there, maybe some of it isn't even here now. No, here.
On the side. Still got a little bit more?
Heck, I didn't even shoot. You got to push way in on that thing. See, push way
in. Yeah, I was.
We heard it whirring. It sounded like film was going through.
But it wasn't. Well, let's see. Well, let's see now, and push on it again and see if it'll move this time.
There.
Let's see, old hair trigger. Is that, yeah.
Grimm's old hair trigger, very well do I remember. Ted Sears, you remember Ted?
Oh, yes, I remember Ted very well.
Ted gave me the inscription on this. It was, Prohibition was here. Oh, Prohibition had ended, I believe.
That's right.
And in most states, only two states in the Union sell these miniatures. I guess the saloons prevented that because they want to sell you the shot glasses. We used to buy these to take to football games.
I got a kick that says, not genuine with this signature.
My signature.
Genuine.
Now it did shoot, see?
I didn't pull it close enough.
Now, where did we get on that? Because, gee, I'd like to have had it when you were surprised to see that.
that looked good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, now I'll put the... I know, but it didn't get it in the film. It didn't roll.
It didn't roll this time either?
Yeah, it rolled this time. But I just... felt like I'd like to get you on here and get you two and Dawes.
Is my picture on that one?
No.
I brought out another one with Les Clark took a photograph of me. I
wasn't aware. What's this all about, Grim?
What?
What's that all about? It has your name on it.
Well, it's genuine whiskey, you see.
It was real whiskey.
I made a special label to put on. And I bought a whole gross of them, 144 bottles, and somebody helped me just cover the labels. I had it engraved, exactly the size of the old label, and printed.
Stuck it on there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I missed you at the Comic Con. You were there before.
I was there after you were.
Oh, that was it. That was it.
I asked several times.
I had to go to Canada.
Yeah, this is the picture Les Clark took. I have myself made up like a bartender, like an 1890 bartender.
That's funny.
You know, one time Ted Sears had his friend, he was quite a football star. I can't think of his name, and he had a liquor store.
Yeah, I know him.
Down in Santa Monica or someplace. I can't think of his name. But
he was
I took him and Willie Teacher. Of my teacher's Highland Cream, took them through the studio, and a few days later, somebody delivered two bottles of Willie's Teacher Highland Cream to me, and it was not even in a wrapped up or anything. And somebody delivered it, and there was a line of several fellows. It was close to closing time, at the close to 5 o'clock, and there was a bunch of guys. They saw that, and they knew where it was going.
They followed
the food. I said, we got in there, and I said, look, we will take this bottle here and empty it, but the other bottle I'm going to have to take home with me.
Well, it's strange to deliver anything like that to a man who is not a drinking man.
You're not a drinking man.
Were you a drinking man?
Huh?
Oh, you're talking about this thing? This bottle here?
That Willie's Teacher. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, I enjoyed that. Yeah,
yeah. It says the oldest whiskey in this bottle is not
lives up in Lodi, you know, and right across the street from here is a vineyard. And after they've taken all the grapes, so they don't get all of them, you can go in and glean them. I've been making wine out of whatever. My wife makes delicious jelly from three types of grapes we picked, and I mixed the three together, and it isn't bad. I've got some nice table wine. I don't.
So you just got back from Canada, huh?
Oh, I got back from Canada on Thanksgiving Day.
Now, you just got back from Europe, right?
Yeah. From where?
Europe.
Europe? Oh.
So we got back on the 8th of November.
Uh-huh.
Trying to get back.
That's someplace I've never been. I've been to Mexico. Incidentally,
Marge just got in from Mexico yesterday.
I was, I took some distant relatives. I've never heard from them before until a year ago, just before Christmas. I said, the name was Nash and it postmarked Indiana. Well, my father was born in Indiana, so I knew that we had to be related. He and his wife are retired teachers and they got interested in roots. And we both have the same great-great-grandfather. So his son and daughter-in-law, they just got married. They were out here on a honeymoon.
Marge has been digging up all my distant relatives. She has, Marge, I haven't told you, Clarence, Marge is the historian with the Jacksonville, Oregon Museum, which is an extensive and beautiful museum, the old courthouse.
I saw your dad's picture, and your grandfather was holding him in his arms in that courthouse there.
Then you've been to the museum.
Oh, I've been there. I was booked by National School Assemblies. Oh, gee, an old friend of Pendo's took me around to all the schools, drove me around.
Mm.
And I went by the house, and he shot movies of the house that Pendo lived, and his friend said that up there in that room, that's the room that Pendo was born in.
Well, Marge and her group have helped preserve that whole little town.
Well, I was going to tell you, I took these kids through out at Huntington, and there's some two little cute little Mexican girls going by, and they were eating on something, and I said, "Give me a bite." And they looked surprised and all that. And then their father came up to me. He came up and he says, "I met you in Mexico City in around 59 or something." I flew back there with Walt, flew to Mexico City with Walt when he received the Aztec Eagle. And that guy remembering, I think he was had something to do with the Mexican float here too, at that parade. But that was a time that I never knew Walt was so afflicted with his lung trouble. I knew he had some problem. And we were just staying at the Reform, and there was a reception room between our rooms. And I was awake almost all night from his coughing.
Did Dick Winslow go along with you on that?
Oh, no. Dick, no, I never heard of Dick at that time. Never met him until years later. I haven't seen Dick for some time.
Yeah, he
last
called
time
me
I
this
saw
morning.
Him, he was playing one-man band out here at
Knott's?
Bush.
Oh, Bush Gardens.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Dick come in and audition for vaudeville with his entourage of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And into a lot of things.
He's still doing that at Knott's Berry Farm on weekends.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
I just happened to run into a fellow that used to be the big man at Disneyland. And Walt, I think, canned him because he bought some property down there near Disney World and Walt didn't like it or something.
Who was that?
Tommy Walker. His father is decent.
Yeah, I heard that they let him go.
And he's at Knott's Berry Farm now. He's a promoter there.
He was speculating on, he'd heard about the plan from what I heard of the Disneyland.
Yeah.
So he went and buying property.
Walt doesn't, he frowned on stuff like that.
He certainly did it himself.
Huh?
Yeah, he did it himself.
Oh, I left it out like, no, I didn't either. You know, when you called me, I was reading an article. Oh, what's the matter here? I guess I don't have that in right yet. There we go. Damn, what's the matter with that thing? That's not closing. Yes, that is in right.
Are you an expert on cameras? Can you?
No.
Don't you have this kind of equipment?
No, I don't.
I used to. We all played around with cameras.
Paul, are you doing a separate book on animation, or is it all part of the same?
No, this is, my meeting here is really just because I'm genuinely interested.
Oh, it's closed.
I've gotten to be good friends with Grimm, and, and it's nice because every time Grimm is invited to something at ASIFA now, I'm his transportation.
That's great.
And it's nice because a lot of people in animation I can't recognize.
Yeah.
Grimm points them out to me. Grimm and I went together to
a
Popeye taping for a Valentine's Day special at Hanna-Barbera, which I was invited to.
I didn't get around to reading this. I got this around
his chance
Christmas
to see
time,
Jack Mercer.
Guy from
Jack Mercer doing the voice?
Yes.
Still great. I didn't know if he was still around.
Well, they fly him into New York to do it.
I didn't know, but Walt went bankrupt a couple times.
I knew he was very close to it.
Well, this was not out here. This is in Kansas City.
Well, he...
So some of this, you know...
I was told that he once, him and Roy both put their houses, their homes in Hawk out here to make the payroll. So they were reasonably honorable men.
Oh, yeah.
They've done so much, you know, and they're still going to be doing so many different things in the future. And
no, it's quite an article. There are two articles here.
Joe. First of all, my interview with Joe Barbera, I had been waiting for months. And finally, when I got the opportunity to speak with him, instead of interviewing him, I sold him on the idea that he needs some archives.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked the idea.
Joe's a good guy and very reasonable. And
he says for sure he wants it to
happen. You're not retired.
He wants me to do it. It's just a matter of
time. Yeah, I call myself.
I'm doing something. I'm retired.
I retired about 10 years ago, but I have gone back and done a little work.
They're building their new plant.
There was a picture called Raggedy Ann. Did you go to the theater anymore?
Not much.
And I worked. The director was a very good friend of mine, and I worked at my own time on the thing.
Ten years ago, they said, "Hey, it's collecting dust. What do you care about this?"
That's my hobby.
Let's give it away to Children's Hospital.
That's my birthstone.
Oh, so right now,
that's a work of art.
I'm a collector of stuff.
No kidding.
3,200
And I bought some of this stuff,
which I call toys of
in rock shops, and it wasn't worth a damn.
And
one day I showed
a
neighbor of mine
a lot of things
and
opal sign.
And I cut ground and polished.
Because I hoped someday to have a museum.
And I was going to give it to him
toys of television.
Somehow I had it in my pocket.
And I brought a box like this wide.
You're still on the dock stick.
Full of Huckleberry Hounds and Yogi Bears.
He said, you do things like that. He's come in the house. He had two beautiful chunks of turquoise.
And some of them are quite old.
Mm-hmm. I took this
going back to old Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I have Tom and Jerry.
That's one thing I worked for those guys.
They've added that at $400.
Yeah. No, so
$7 a carat.
I thought it was great. And I've interviewed the people in the music department.
Yeah,
I have records that they
still go out
I was a judge in a beauty contest up in Mariposa.
Marge, when she hears about
a few hours, and there's a dry creek bed,
destroyed
a rock
slate
out there, and I got 17.
I'm making sugar. I'm sorry, baby.
How could you find a nugget in a dry creek bed? I mean, how would you recognize it?
To me, I'm a good digger in swap meets and that kind of thing.
There's some rotten slate.
Stuff out.
And it's in between some of this slate stuff.
Goodwill's.
It caught in there.
I never paid over 50 cents for
from a big stream one time.
You've done a lot of looking.
So I had a big screwdriver and a little hammer, and I was knocking down there, and here
I had many people come out to see it.
I didn't.
You're welcome to it.
I got about five or six of them. Then I took a whole mess of gravel that I dug around all this stuff where there's solid rock.
Bill Hollins. I
brought it to my friend's house.
Hollins
worked
the other day.
Yeah.
Got all together, 17 nuggets.
They're
not big,
but
one of them
was
about this big.
Yeah.
In
fact, I did a show for him a few times.
And this last trip up north.
Yeah.
I met a young fellow that has
you
three gold mines.
I'm make you absolutely drool.
And you're going
a
to enjoy it.
Going right ahead of us. And about 200 or 300 feet down is a stream I don't think has had a pan in it in 25, 30, 40 years. And we went through this gold mine that he's opened up. And even with just the light on the hard hat, that light gave me a sufficient light for shooting this friend of mine tapping on some ore in there.
Yeah.
And another friend of mine was up there, and he picked up a rock about this big. He smelled it. He said, there's gold in there. No kidding, you can smell it. There's kind of a garlic-like smell, I guess, something like that. And I have had a friend, I met him when he was 100 years old, and he lived, preferred living with Indians, because he was part Indian anyway, half Indian. He showed more Indian when he was laid out in his casket, when he died at 107. And I'm using a thing that he used to use, that he's made thousands of dollars out. Mm-hmm. It's a steel, iron, mortar and pestle.
That's nice.
And
that's, I'm
getting
buttons. These were not merchandise.
I get that down to a powder, and then I put mercury in there.
As far as
grind that mercury all around in that stuff.
Somebody told me these never went on the market.
Then I get all that mercury back into one
bottle. It was a prototype, as done by one of the Disney artists.
I get a button.
More or less as a hobby, so they're like clay.
Squeeze all the mercury out through cloth. And then
I
set it on a hot plate.
Signature
a plate and set it on over the stove, and that mercury disappears in it. Keeps the same size button. I've got one that's worth about $25. A friend of mine.
Where did you learn to do that?
I've just learned these things by meeting a lot of people on that work.
Do you remember who might have made these? It was one of the artists.
I'm trying to think of his name. Yeah, he was.
Cristodoro? Excuse me. Did Cristodoro?
I don't know.
These are made by somebody in the Disney studio.
Yeah, Cristodoro, I bet you.
I don't think they ever went.
I have a ventriloquial dummy that Cristodoro made the first model.
I've seen it.
At Wah Chang.
What are these, plaster casts, or have these been?
These are plaster. And he gave my dad these for Christmas, I don't know.
I don't know.
Years and years ago. They've got the Disney stamp on the back and the trademark and all, but I don't think that they ever went into production or were marketed. But I'd really like to know who had made them.
Well, you can find that out. Of course, I would call up Dave Smith and see if he has any idea. He'd probably have to see them.
Who is that, Webb Smith?
No.
He's the archivist for Disney.
You say Webb Smith?
Yeah.
He died a long time ago.
I know. So I didn't want to make a long distance call.
You did?
No, that cost you about $8,000.
Yeah.
You probably get an old football player or something.
These are worth some money today.
Yeah, but
don't sell them.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it.
They're nice.
I used them to hold books. Even, that's
even
what they were
the
designed.
Three fingers. Very good.
I think it's beautifully done.
Yeah, Clarence.
Yeah,
I see
the other one just
here. For fun. Vance, I was in Medford, Jacksonville, every school there. I was there for a whole week.
What year?
It was about 8 or 9 years ago. I was booked by National School Assemblies. Oh, I don't know how many towns I was in.
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. I have a brother who lives out of Roseburg. And I'm hoping he will come down and visit us soon. He's 80 now. I was 74 last month.
Well, why don't you go visit him and stop Pearl in Jacksonville
Day.
Again?
Huh?
Why don't you go visit him and stop in Jacksonville again?
Oh, we do go up there frequently, but we haven't had the opportunity the last years. I've been so active in a lot of other things. And I had my brother come visit us last year, trying to get him to come down now. I told him I'd send him a fare and all that. Maybe he will. He's had quite an operation a few years ago. Now he's taking 2 or 3 mile hike a day.
I was going to say, people don't get sick up there.
No, they've been getting snow up there, though.
Yeah.
My brother had a heart attack one time when he was visiting us.
Mm.
And he's over that. Then he had a big tumor removed from his bladder. Fortunately, he still has a bladder. And everything's clean so far. He has to go in there so often. Neighbor of mine down the street from us, he wears an outside bladder. That's a heck of a note to be in a shape like that.
Really? Well, it can be done, though. That's encouraging.
That's another, I mean, that's a colostomy, too, like another or any other. I heard Lily Pons had a colostomy one time.
Oh, a lot of them.
When she had Lily Pons, Doug Fairbanks Jr.
Yeah. We in Doug's London visited Doug Fairbanks, former leading lady, Bessie.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. Her first book came out last September. And then she has some sketches of my dad's. Got 1925 or 6. Then how she initially made contact with me to see if that included publishing rights.
That's a pretty good take.
And without consulting the rest of
Benji's
my
wife.
Family, because there's a problem on a book that Pinto left a manuscript that I wanted, and Ginny and a couple of the other brothers, one other, wanted to donate to the museum. And one or two of the other brothers didn't want to donate. So
were you there when Earl Hurd worked at Studio 2?
The book is all theirs anyway. We got right around that.
There was a guy when
so
you walk by his room, his door is open. You can't go by his room. You got to come back and sit and visit.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
At least he gave her some cartooning. She remembered giving him some money.
They were having about ready to have the service.
She's an overachiever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and Bert Gillette was sitting next to me.
Alexis Smith.
And I
when there's nothing
was so
to do,
surprised all of a sudden he needed a gig
or ballet or whatever. You never have an empty moment.
In a somber place, you know.
Still is.
He says, you know.
So she's using some sketches in her second book.
When I left the studio and went to work in New York City producing a cartoon, I met Earl Hurd. And I said, Earl, you have a patent on that cellular process. He says, you know everybody.
Well,
he said, I told him, you know everybody in the cartoon industry is using that.
One of my dad's, you may know something about this, Mark.
You know, you can collect quite a bit out of it. You should get some royalties.
Writing for something, there was a.
And about 3 or 4 weeks later, all of a sudden, Bert got a summons to come to
a
court.
About the origins of animation.
And not only Bert, but.
With being a pioneer.
Several
who
could. Oh, and Bert was still there, and Walt knew he was going to get it, so Walt made this arrangement.
I heard that he made an arrangement
during
World War.
Earl, you know, there's a plaque there in the theater at Disney Studios dedicated to Earl's memory.
Is that so?
Earl was a heck of a nice guy.
Well, you know what? None of the people in the East ever paid him in because they'd all been using it before Earl Hurd got into the business.
So
I remember Bill Nolan telling me, yes, he got a letter from Earl Hurd, and he wrote back and said, go to hell. I was using this before you ever thought of getting a patent. If you can prove precedence, a patent doesn't mean anything. But Earl, I imagine Walt promised him a lifetime job or something. I don't know what he did, but
Earl collected.
But iWorks was paying him.
I still got a
good iWorks paid him for his patent rights, but none of the fellows out East ever paid Earl a penny.
I'll be darned.
And a lot of the old animes, well, the Popeye.
Well, he got a big sum anyway.
Oh, sure.
So much for each picture from then on.
So the great thing about
that is marvelous.
It's been preserved. And Val and kids are still...
I don't want to forget this bottle. This is something I treasure.
It's too bad.
Well, I feel very elated that you kept that long.
I'm dealing with the decline of those characters.
I was saying the photograph of me was taken by Les Clark.
Bobby, doggone.
We were great camera bugs, and so I bought a false mustache and then waxed my hair and combed it to look like an old-fashioned bartender. Les Clark took the picture.
They were good people.
Yes.
And Ted Sears wrote the caption.
Not genuine with this signature.
And went on to becoming, you know, Alan Byrne.
It's not less than 2 months old.
Forte is comedy.
A blend of pure alcohol.
He and she are so too good for the air with Dick Benjamin and Paul Prentiss.
Yeah.
They were so damn good.
Quite elated that you kept that long.
But Alan.
Well, I had an idea you'd get a kick out of saying that. From the past, you know.
I wonder if I've kept, I'm sure I have and some of the labels.
Now doing Lou Grant.
Send me one,
and,
yeah.
And then Chris was...
Send me one if you have.
All right.
Over there at Jay Ward's, and the writer on a lot of stuff, Mike Douglas right now. George Atkins with Jay Ward. And all those great people went right through Jay Ward, but they come... come along with these fantastic ideas, and Ward, if they played golf, they were really in. They had the funniest golfing team working at Jay Ward. Ward's a golfer himself, okay? So Lloyd Turner, who is with Lear right now, and in fact, I forget what he's with, has only one arm, and Chris Hayward has a crippled arm. Mm. They're both fantastic golfers. So they used to love to go out to courses where they would be teamed up with another couple of guys. And here's Chris with this bad arm here. Lloyd would take his false arm off. He's got to get a foursome, you know. And then they'd get up and go to drive. Well, they'd start, they had a gimmick and blow the other guys, because they'd be betting a few bucks against them. And they start telling a joke as they go up there and put the ball on the tee and all. The guy who's doing this telling a joke. And he waits for the downstroke for the tagline. Oh, and really hits great. And they would so completely demoralize the other two guys, strangers. On a foursome, they always won. They had no problem.
What kind of a game did they play?
Fantastic.
Is that so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see.
Great golfer.
He must have had a strong right arm.
Yeah, well, to work for Jay Ward, you had to be a good golfer, and absolutely not.
Well,
coming
wait,
up with
Jay Ward
and some of those other.
Yeah. Dawes will still, there's a good chance he may show up still.
I hope so.
Might be a little late.
He called me unless he got a studio call.
Yeah.
Or unless his, I don't know what his hip problem has been.
Oh, he's doing much better with that.
Yeah, he told me he's
Did you know that Dawes had a hip operation?
How's that?
Dawes Butler?
Yeah.
Did you know that he had a hip operation?
No.
He had arthritis in his hip, and it's been bothering him for about 10 years. And he just finally, you know, I guess it's good that he waited. you know, to have anything done with it, because modern medicine can do miracles these days. And they replaced the ball joint in his hip with a plastic.
My cousin had that same operation.
Yeah, and then he did one side, and then it was like 4 months later they did the other side. And now he's walking a mile a day. And
right arm. Well, you know, I've only met him once, and then we were doing a, we were supposed to be on this telethon. I can't think what it was now, a telethon. And I've always, somehow or other, some guy at the studio has always had me there at a certain time, and then I'll wait for hours and hours and hours. Somebody comes late that's more important than me, and they go on, and I got so damn tired of it. I made up my mind, the next time something like this happens, I'm going to walk out. And this happened. One fellow had me come in, and then I got out so far, and I had the duck in my hand, and this other guy pushed me off the side. I just kept going, put my duck in a case, and walked home. I mean, walked out the car and came on home. And Dawes Butler was there, and I think Dawes walked off on it too, I'm not sure. And Sheriff Beskaloos, who wanted me to be with him on this thing too. I've worked a lot with Sheriff Beskaloos. He had me go up to Canada one time for the sheriff up in Regina to raise some money. So anyway, Sheriff Beskaloos was a little teed off about something. And so I get home, and this guy at the studio, I don't want to mention name, he's dead now, and I've had more problems with him than anybody. I know I always had problems with casting directors. And so he says, "Why aren't you on?" I told him what happened. He says, "Well, you know, I was there at 4 o'clock in the morning at that show, and Spike Jones sat there and cooled his heels for hours." I says, "Does Spike Jones work for Disney Studio?" I didn't care. I had so much of that. So many times you do something charity, you know, and then they put you down and you're there 5 or 6 hours.
You know, Vance was a front man for Spike on his tours.
How's it?
Vance here was the front man, like, what do you call it? The
I only handled television promotion. Advance.
Yeah, so he would go around to different towns, and on television, yeah, you'd say, "Hey, Spike's coming in town tomorrow, so you better all keep tuned."
Well, I was about 2 weeks ahead of him, and I had routine.
Oh, Spike Jones, huh?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
on a couple of his national tours, and it was great fun.
Spike was a nice guy. He was.
Spike was a fun guy. Yeah.
Yeah. The last time I saw him, he was playing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And little Cubby O'Brien was playing the drums.
Yeah, and Spike had some funny people with him, Billy Barty, Doodles Weaver, you know, that group. Mm-hmm. While they turn a town inside out, we get to some of these smaller towns. I would get them, they'd say Spike was here a couple of years ago. Carl, I'm going to tell you about that little midget, as they called Billy. You know, he's the wildest guy. He was dating a waitress here, and she's 6 feet tall, and weird stuff, wonderful, great stuff. But I had an easy time because all the TV people had either heard about Spike or had known him as he went through before, and the disc jockey, he was really accepted, so it made my job easier, whether I was on a kid show or doing the cooking. I was doing my Western character.
Buck.
Old Buck, yeah. And I suppose that I had a big poster made, wanted Spike Jones and his notorious band wanted for musical mayhem and murder. And I said, "I'm looking for this guy. I heard he's in town." And then it gives the MC or host something. "No, he's not going to be here for 2 weeks." "Where is he going to be?" "He's going to be at the War Memorial Auditorium." "Why do we want to remember a war for?" "Well, because, you know, but, yeah." And I had routines for cooking shows, for kids shows, for the talk show, and there's one in every town, like Fernwood tonight.
Yes.
Completely get off the subject. A gimmick I use is not talk about Spike at all. And these people never rehearse. Sometimes you don't meet them until you go out and sit down. Oh, and they say, now, aren't you here ahead of Spike Johnson? Yeah, I'll tell you about that some other time. And pretty soon they're pulling in, they're doing a commercial, they're doing a plug, and they're wondering, who's this creep who's supposed to be here talking about Spike when he's not talking about it? It was a fun job.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Plus, Spike gave me a wide open expense account, because part of my job was wining and dining these guys. And it was really super. And I was down in the south somewhere, Magnolia, Arkansas, one of those thriving metropolises, metropoli. Spike called me one time. We talked about it every third or fourth night. So we had, you know, exchanged information about what was going on. He said, geez, I looked at that last expense account of yours. You're not, aren't you taking these people out and, you know, buying them booze and all this? I said, yeah, but things are cheap now.
A very fine time. You know, you better change it to some other name, because he died about 3 weeks before. That's a fact.
A TV producer was telling me not too long ago, in fact, I was over in Arizona during the Death Valley days for him, so it had to be about 5 or 6 years ago. And he was the promotion man for Capitol Records at the time Dad was doing Bozo. And he said, your dad went on the road and he came back and he turned in an expense account. He said, I never got so damn mad in my life. It was like he'd been gone 3 weeks or a month or whatever, and it came to like, you know, $15. He said, I had to give him hell because he was going to spoil it for me and for everybody else. And he was the guy that okayed the expense account. He said, so I asked him, I said, you forgot to put down some things here. And he said, oh no, I didn't forget anything. Oh, just go. Come on, man. Pad that. Pad.
One time I turned in my expense account to somebody else instead of another party at the studio. And he looked at that and he said, Ducky, you're making it hard on the other fellas. Let me make this out.
So, business?
Yeah. Okay. And by golly, all he took from me was $10, and I took about $185, $190 home with me. He says, you earned it. You earned it.
Yeah.
Say, I brought my book along. Would you all like to see it for a few minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. Are these mostly illustrations?
That's all it is.
I would like very much to see it.
That's all. I just brought the pictures. I left the type at home. But I can bring it over here and we can do it on the floor.
What world I see you got there.
Yeah, I brought a few issues. Can I slide this a little
bit? Sure. Yeah, slide. Slide just a bit.
I just got a call.
Yeah, you were really have been collecting some things there.
Yeah, well, these are most of these pictures.
Later on, we'll shoot some more movies.
These things
are from people who have that I've interviewed.
Anybody want any more coffee? A beer, booze, anything?
No, thanks. Maybe I could have a... No, I won't. Look. Hey, that's...
What is that? Okay, come on over here, man. And you can all get around.
All parties play.
I've seen it, so I'll get on this side.
I'll put this on the
table. You ought to keep this in any special place.
I just wanted you to see that.
Someday I may ask to read it, but
that's too much right now. We're
fine. We can move over just a little bit, and we can start these and pass them right along.
Let's sit over here.
If they need any narrative, I know that Paul will supply them.
Sure, they're pretty self-explanatory. Now, the way this thing goes is it turns like that.
You better keep your lens cap on.
This was the first image projected on TV screen, this Felix the Cat. And a lot of these pictures, I've been in contact with some of the people who have either published it, or a lot of the things in my book are pictures, some of them taken out of children's books to explain a character, for instance. Mm-hmm. Rather than getting a cell of Felix, I might use a picture from a book. This was from the recent press party. There's Larry Harmon and Lucille Bliss and Bob Clampett. I made this drawing up for Lucille from this drawing here, because she had nothing to give out to her fans. So she signs these now. And of course, that was the first television show designed for children, you know, cartoon show.
Yeah.
It was Crusader Rabbit.
Here's Lucille in a local show she had in San Francisco. That was in 1949. Here's Lucille today. In about 2 weeks, I'll be working with Lucille on a Norman Lear show. She plays the part of a witch, and I'm the wizard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Oh, great.
Here's a cell from Jay Ward.
Jay Ward.
Here's the big balloon in the Macy's Parade. This is a model that I built, minus all of these little tiny characters. But the model itself I built for a Las Vegas show as a prototype, you know, model. And it almost happened. That was pretty much what gave me the idea to still get started with this book. A lot of times in my book, you'll see comic books, things like that, to tell a story. A lot of this will bring back memories. Here's the Cheerios commercial. Here's June Foray.
June. She's in China right now.
I just talked with her this morning.
Is she back?
Yeah, and once we get started with our conversation, when we get to it, about Pinto, she would like to add something to it, but with a phone call.
Great.
She's had some dysentery problems with her last trip.
She got back.
But she has some great stories and she'd like
to. Oh, yeah. She and Pinto, and I've worked with her quite a bit, too.
Jay gave me this. This is if you belong to the fan club. A lot of these things are just loose. You're looking at it, and it's really it's rough
Senator
form.
Larry.
Now, here's some the fan
it's
club.
Van Turbin, isn't it?
Yeah.
I took him through the studio years ago, and Charlie Chaplin and H.G. Wells together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Here is.
I have a book that H.G. Wells autographed to Dad. It must have been maybe during that tour.
That was that time, yeah.
Yeah.
More cells from Jay Ward. Quite a few different characters.
Yeah.
This time, this Mae Questel sent me, and I've been corresponding
with her. Yuma.
Here's Mae today.
Yeah.
And there's I have 3,200 pieces, Clarence. I haven't told you about that. Mm-hmm. You'd be interested in it, perhaps seeing my collection. I have all of this Toys of Television, and that's parts of it. Grim, you haven't seen this picture yet. Here's you with Jack Mercer.
Oh, no.
He's the voice of Popeye. It came out well, didn't it?
He's a little short guy, isn't he?
Quite short.
Yeah, he's in real estate. He became a broker later on. I think that's the one. I know he did Popeye. He's still been in New York one time.
This is where...
There's Dawes.
Yeah. This is Art Scott. Who quit the working with Popeye at Hanna-Barbera because he couldn't handle the pressure from CBS. Here's Dawes. Here's Alex Loeby.
He used to work at the studio.
Oh, God, I haven't seen Alex.
Here's Alex, and here's Alex directing.
Yeah.
Who's that again?
Alex Loeby.
Oh, Alan.
And then here's that Alan Melville or Melvin? Melville. He's the one who's on... Sergeant Bilko and
does a lot of commercials.
You know, he's on All in the Family and Gomer Pyle.
Yeah.
There's more of Popeye and his gang.
Grim, you originated Betty Boop or with them when they started? And
I created the first character.
Yeah.
And then you went on to direct some of the.
Well, later on, down in Florida, but I animated all the time. I was with Flashers in New York.
Little Audrey. Yeah, Mae Questel also did Little Audrey. It's a little mixed up. Here's the Alvin and the Chipmunks. And we get into Walter Lantz's characters. I have quite a few things from Walter Lantz. It's a pretty bad picture, but I tell you, that's... Besides the Disney, I think Walter Lantz is my largest collection. It's easy to find so many things. Here's Walter, of course.
Yeah.
And Mighty Mouse, Paul Terry's. Here's an old comic book that I really
like. Who did Mighty Mouse?
Paul Terry.
Yeah, Terry.
Yeah. Terry. And then here's an example of some of the violence. Sure. It was
good violence. Good. They had good violence.
Webb Smith went to Terry Toons after he left Disney.
And then now we're getting, this is this is kind of out of, this should be the other page. Astro Boy was a Japanese thing. Here's some of Dawes's characters. Dawes Butler, who we hope comes today, did all those voices and plenty more. Here's Dawes. And Quickstraw McGraw. Here's some cells from Hanna-Barbera. There's Don Messick, who does most of the voices along with Dawes.
Yeah,
it's a nice picture of him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
More of this was the first thing that Bill and Joe worked on for television on their own. It's rough and ready. Here's a funny picture of Don Messick. Mm-hmm. Here we get into a bit of Disney. Now, I've actually looked up these pictures that I like with Dave Smith at the archives. And it looks as though that I can get permission on most of these pictures that I've picked out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
This one I particularly like. That was out of a Look magazine. And of course, here's a nice one of Walt.
Yeah.
This is more of the collection. Anytime you see those things in there, that's all from my collection. Sidney Miller, I've interviewed. Here's some, you can't see it too well, but here's some drawings of old style Mickey and old style Goofy that Ward Kimball drew for me. And that's a thrill to have. Here's Pinto.
Yeah.
That was that joined in a book there.
I gave you a copy. Webb, didn't I?
Howard Herter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harry Reeves died.
Oh, did he?
You know when we had that big quake out in Sylmar?
Yeah.
That he had just built a home out there. He developed a lot of that country and made quite a fortune.
I know. He went in
there. They moved in that place. And by golly, 2 or 3 days later, that thing happened, and he had 4 heart attacks. The last one he took him.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And Daniel Boone, and these are the Mouseketeers that I've traced down so far.
Have you run across Jenny Tyler?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to call her? I've got a number on it.
Sure. There's so many names, you have to forgive me once in a while. My mind has to work. It's like
Jenny?
A file.
Where is she? She was one of the originals.
Was Jenny... original one? I didn't know that.
Jenny Lee Tyler.
She isn't there as an original one.
No. Mm-hmm.
That last one was really no good at all. They just can't ever get another Mouseketeer program to compare.
This is Fess Parker looking at the actual grave site of Davy Crockett, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
Here's Sidney Miller. More of
Yeah,
the collection again.
A long time ago.
By the way, as many Mickey Mouses as you've seen, I have as many Donald Ducks. Here's Ward Kimball in the Firehouse Five group.
Did Walt play an instrument of any kind?
No.
Because I have a snapshot of Walt in a band uniform. He might have been, you know, just doing the baton thing.
He might have done that. He might have done that for a guy.
Yeah, you know. And he's got a big, funny shake or something on. I haven't seen it for a while, but I know I've got it around. And I think it was during the time that
Cal drew that.
They had the band.
Oh, Cal drew this. Yes, some sort.
Is that
Cal Howard?
It was Cal that. You had that nice drawing of a self-portrait of yourself. And I said to Cal, hey, you ought to do something like a self-portrait. People would really like to have that. And he goes, oh, no, I can't. And I said, oh, give it a try sometime. And so he just picked up a piece of paper and did it. And this is...
very good.
Yeah.
When did you see Cal?
At
Jack
the
King
cell
used to
sale
be good at
along with Grimm.
Uh-huh.
Jack was very...
He's one of the world's funniest men.
Which way does this go?
He said he would never caricaturize a woman because they would be insulted.
They are insulted. I used to do caricatures, and they tear them up, they throw them away.
I'm a musician. You want to hear it?
Beautiful. Bravo.
Here's Marvin Miller.
I worked with him yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah, on one of these serious radios.
Next time you see him, tell him hello. It's been years.
He hasn't lost a bit of weight.
No, he looks different in this picture. And these are some of the characters that he's played in one particular thing he was in. Here's some Dennis Semenis cells. A little mixed up, all this Heckle and Jekyll. This, when I set my entire collection in a program called It Takes All Kinds, and all of the crew down there at CBS was dying for this. This patch.
They were.
Yeah. And you know, I got that patch about a month ago at, a couple months ago at a swap meet for a quarter.
Ah. Yeah,
that's where I get all my things. Here's Bob Clampett. And of course, Dawes was Beanie. And here's some of the Warner Brother collection I have. You could see it's...
That Beanie was a great show.
This is great. When I interviewed Friz Freleng, I cut out a bunch of the characters in a circle and I asked him to sign it for me. And he said, I'm not going to sign this. I'm not going to take the credit for all these characters. And I said, oh, okay, I'll take it back then. And I understand. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I respect that. And then he felt bad that I did all that work, you know, for nothing, because I had cut all the characters out and mounted them nicely on this big board. He says, just leave it here and come back for it in a couple weeks. And a couple weeks later, I got a phone call from Friz Freleng. He said, come get your poster. And I came down there, and his secretary had told me that he had been walking in and out of the building with it almost every day, and he had all these people sign it for me.
Now,
that's a picture, that's,
you know,
a
he's
photograph
a nice
of the poster. The poster.
I met him and Yuma, too, on that just
fantastic
thing.
It shows me some class.
Yeah.
Don Williams.
Well, I had to take it to Clampett, of course.
Don Williams lives near me.
That's
four or five blocks. Yeah. No, Clampett, there was, he was trying to find a
When his daughter was born, he was working at the studio, and I gave him a little solid Cyberling latex Donald Duck. I said, this is for your daughter to cut her teeth on. Years later, her daughter was teaching my grandchildren in school.
There's an early Bugs.
I'm expecting my fourth great-grandchild this month.
No kidding.
And Tweety. Here's a drawing that Chuck Jones did of Bugs.
That's neat.
Here are some of the cartoons that Friz directed. You could see just as far as one of the directors, you know, they all take their claim for it, yet each one of them has a list this long.
So, yeah.
You know, it tends to get kind of confusing.
What do you mean? Is each of these things a picture?
Yes, a cartoon which he directed.
He directed all of these?
No, he's all the ones that he's checked. You see that?
Oh, I see. He's checked.
Which is just about all of them.
I see, yeah. Didn't know Warren's made that.
Yeah, it's quite a few. Here's an old, isn't that great? You'll have to sign it. And here's more Bozo things. I have a lot of Bozo stuff. Here's a cell that Friz gave me of the Pink Panther. And here's Gerald McBoyne.
Sure. Now,
Grimm worked on that.
I only worked on the story. I didn't, never got into the animation of it, although I was there. Just a coincidence that...
Now we're getting into live-action fantasy.
Boy, did my young daughter love that.
I just got in contact with him. In fact, I saw him about...
Who's that?
Right before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Monsters, yeah.
Name.
Who's this kid here?
Billy something.
Billy or Butchie?
Butch.
Huh. Yeah.
It starts with a C. It's Butch something Patrick. Butch Patrick?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, the names are going like...
What's he doing? I haven't seen him.
I haven't either. I have not really gotten into this area too much. Would you believe that's children's television?
Yeah, isn't that something?
Sure.
Isn't that something?
Shows the kids have taste.
There's plenty.
Have you got any of the old Space Patrol stuff?
No, but I have quite a few good contacts for them so far. These are pretty self-explanatory. And then these are fantasy specials that were done for television. That's Wally Cox.
Yeah. Huh.
As I say, it's really in its rough form right now. Here's a Peter Pan special.
Very much.
Jackie Coogan here.
Yeah.
Oh, Jackie Cooper.
Cooper.
And this is Jackie Coogan here.
Thinking about him.
Jackie Coogan and Jackie Cooper always mix me up. Here's another one. I contacted Buckwheat a few days ago. William Thomas.
No, I don't think. I was in some school things that Larry Darmer Studios did. I don't think this was one of them.
That'd be a thrill to spot you in there.
I've still got a still of it.
This is Jackie Cooper here, too.
Yes.
Now, they're making some kid pictures now. Are they reruns of these?
Norman Lear tried to start the Little Rascals up again.
Some of them are, yeah, they're the original Arcane kids, aren't they? Isn't that what they call the Little Rascals or something?
They had used one. I forget his name now.
It was almost like a spinoff.
Yeah.
Hello, baby. My gather goes to phone the moment she comes in. Hi.
Oh, phone's
ringing. You call. We've also got.
Go get the phone.
Okay.
Hi. This is.
How
Graham
are you?
Snatch.
This is.
I'm glad you met you together.
And this is Graham Natwick.
How do you do? Nice to meet you.
Are you keeping out of mischief?
Are you keeping out of mischief?
The most wonderful thing that I love, Donald Duck, I wear a hearing aid, and on the phone, I listen with the other phone, the other ear that I don't have it.
Yeah.
And nothing seems to. And so I couldn't understand a lot of what you were saying, but it just
was
sounded.
I was talking to you then, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you seemed to. I thought you understood every word I said.
Well, I was trying. I understood a good bit of
see,
it.
See, I had to learn.
But I was just so glad
too.
To hear it, you know.
Sometimes I get along without this thing, too. Once in a while.
Shall I pick this up?
Oh, it's a strange thing. I had never heard of anybody that could do that.
I just find it up right now.
Huh?
To do that, I haven't. How do you do that?
Well,
it's all done right in here.
You talk out of the side of your mouth?
Yeah.
You put air in there?
No. No, I just push the toy up here.
You put like your vocal cords kind of.
No. No.
I think you have.
My tongue
to have
is
a
vocal
special
cord.
Shape to your mouth, too. I don't think you can. Well, kids do it naturally, you know, if they can do it.
But. Yeah.
Well, I don't think I could do it. No, I could never do it.
I got a card from a gal by the name of Marcia Blitz. She's from Harmony House in New York City. They just published Mickey's 50 Years. And now.
I've seen that book.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but she sent me a card. And the book about Donald Duck, she said she'll be sending it to me in April, will be out. And last time. Before I heard this, I heard.
I've seen that one too.
You have already?
The book on Donald?
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen it.
Well, I haven't got it yet, but she wrote to me one time she wanted a picture of the little billy goat that I had when I was a kid. And I did have it, by golly. This goat is what inspired me to do the voice for Don. I always called her character Mary. I was only, when I realized that people were laughing. I tried to recite Mary Had a Little Lamb. And my friends were laughing like everything. I thought even at the age of 13, it might pay off. I became the biggest quack in the country. You know, medicine was what I was going to start out to study.
Was that so?
Yeah. One of my relatives, my great uncle was a doctor. Funny thing, Dale Carnegie wrote about him. And about 3 months later, he wrote about, came out in the Herald Examiner, that was called, Herald Express. My wife and I came down here May the 12th, 1930, and I had a dime and she had 50 cents. And I told one friend that, he said, you married her for her money, didn't you? And this came out in the Herald Express 12 years to the day that we came down there, my home was paid for. And it wasn't Disney salary, it was the money I made from Burns and Allen that bought my home. I was Gracie's pet duck on that show.
Let me continue this just a little bit.
What age did you really break into the thing professionally?
Well, I started out at the age of 20 in Chautauqua and Lyceum Ward.
Yeah.
Edgar Bergen started in Chautauqua also.
Well, then where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Oklahoma. My dad made the run there in Oklahoma. Cimarron, I was born there. They didn't even register births when I was born. I had to get, our studio was checked by FBI when we went into work for defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to send for my birth certificate, which there was none. I had to get an affidavit that I was born. Of course, everybody in that town knew me. A little town called Watonga, Oklahoma, December 7th, 1904. I was born out on a farm. Midwife delivered me, my grandmother Nash. Pulled me through.
Well,
yeah, I was a pretty sick infant from what I'd been told.
This is all Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. And
yeah.
They were one of the first interviews I had. I went out to
They're
their
nice
to their ranch.
Well,
yeah. Here's from a Kodak commercial with all of their children. Here's Gene Autry. He wrote me a nice letter. I haven't seen him yet. Bill Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I've interviewed.
He married...
William
Bill
Katz.
Williams married...
Barbara Hale.
That's right. Because the first time I met her, she said, you know Vance Colving? Met him down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, they're old friends.
Premier of the Song of the South. Yeah.
There was a nice guy, William Boyd.
Yeah.
Do you know Jacques Mahoney? Have you met him?
I only met him one time at a telethon, actually, where you meet everybody in the world. And Jacques was, when I was doing Buck Sureshot for a while, we ran the Range Riders.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Here is the Range Rider.
Yeah. And what was the kid's name with him? Dick West, Dickie West?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And here he
They're
was
all stuntmen.
Yeah. He was also Tarzan in the movies.
Yeah.
And then we're getting into, this is all Western. Here, now, you would, I think, find, this is our locals. Here's Frank Herman. And by the way, I just got every time he does a show anywhere, he sends me, you know, he's going to be at the Magic Stop or something like that. Here's Chuck Jones, the Magic Man.
Yeah.
And
Jan. Yeah. Now, when she was having a baby or having an eye operation.
Who was this?
He
Chuck
has
Jones,
a
magician.
I mean, no, here.
That's his wife.
Yeah, I know.
And then when Jan was sick, Chuck, because he builds his props small, this gal, when she's really healthy, weighs about 85 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed a little gal to fit the props, and he does the dollhouse and various other things. So he called Jenny and wanted Jenny to work it. And Jenny said, I'm not in showbiz. And he was amazed. Everybody assumes Jenny's got a showbiz background, which she does not. Chuck's a fine magician. There he's doing the divided lady. He invents effects.
He's now at Knott's Berry Farm with George Gobel.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah,
he's Walker Edmonston.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite puppeteers that I think I've ever met.
He's
great.
And this is another picture coming up. Here is the Elementary News, which pretty much has gone throughout the country now. Ben Hunter started that with his wife Marge. There's Ben.
His book just came out.
Yes, he's doing quite well with it too. The Baha feeling or something.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Miss Francis at Ding Dong School. And this just goes on and on with more local television shows. I've interviewed all the people here with them. By the way, you know Sharon Baird. The Musketeer, Sharon.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Here she is. Sharon. Do you recognize her?
God. She looks great.
Yeah. Well, what is this?
Put on a
this
pound
is the New Zoo Review.
Oh.
Which is still syndicated. More of the characters. Here's Paul Winchell. He's a doctor now.
Did he get his doctorate?
Yeah.
He makes a fortune off inventions. Nobody knows he's an inventor.
You know,
he's a very successful inventor.
He's invented an artificial heart, which Dr. Christian Barnard, the famous...
You mean this guy did?
Yes.
Paul Winchell did?
He was doing that while he had his network show. He was at nighttime going to hospitals. And he's also invented an artificial kidney machine, and he's a doctor of acupressure and acupuncture and hypnotism. He's a hypnotist. And just recently, my mother has cancer, and part of her problem is she is losing feeling in one of her legs from her abdomen pressure, kind of. Anyway, Paul Winchell treated her with acupuncture. He came to our home and did needles. And we don't really know if it's really helped her at all yet.
Yeah. But times like that, everything's worth trying.
Yeah, that's right. And then all of these characters are some of the characters that he's played. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to publishing time, he'll give me the originals. But he did so many characters on that show. Here he is, feeding Jerry Mahoney. Here he is in a dramatic role with Peter Lorre.
I think I saw that.
He was the first one to use a black ventriloquist puppet. And then these are the smaller versions that I have of his Knucklehead and Jerry. But he has had the larger full-size dummies done. Here's Edgar Bergen. And by the way, it was Paul Winchell and Sherry Lewis that put me in contact with Edgar Bergen. And he granted my interview, and I was to interview him this last December. But when he died, I got a call from his secretary the next day telling me, sorry, you know, but we'll help you out in any way we can. The office will be open for half an hour.
He's
for
a very flashy guy. We have, have you run across Frank Wayne, who is an executive producer of Goodson Todman. And Frank and his wife, Frankie, live in Bergen's old house on Cannon Drive in Beverly Hills. Well, Frank had had one heart attack. And then Frankie had a heart attack. And they're both alive and ambulatory and all that. So about 2 weeks ago, there's a knock on the door. And there's some wacko out there saying, is Candace home? Frankie said, got a weirdo here. Sorry, she hasn't lived here in years. Oh, yeah, I want to see Candace, you know. So Frankie yelled, Frank, would you come here, please? She said, and she blamed herself. She said, I should have said everything's okay. And Frank thought maybe. So he came a running, and damned if, as an aftermath of that, he didn't have another heart attack. Was in the hospital home now. But Bergen's reputation lives on. Here they haven't lived in that house for 10 years or maybe more.
Yeah.
And
here's Stan Freberg. He's done quite a few things for Disney. I say Freeberg's done quite a few voices for Disney.
Oh, yeah, for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, we made a record with him one time, too.
Here is Jimmy Nelson and Danny O'Day. I have that puppet at home, by the way. Here's Sherry Lewis. And by the way, Sherry writes my mother, too. Sherry knows my mother. In fact, it was Sherry who came to my mother wanting the government to sponsor her book, A Head Start Guide to Learning. And my mother turned it down because it really wasn't something for the government to sponsor. Here she's dancing with a Fred Astaire humanette puppet. Here's Bob Keesham as Captain Kangaroo. He was also Clarabelle on Howdy Doody. And there's some more of him. Here's a picture I love so much. This is all of the locals here in Los Angeles grouped together.
Oh, yeah, Sheriff John.
This Captain Jeff Malan.
Captain Jet and Chuck Runyon.
Yeah. Chuck, have you been in touch with him?
I haven't. Yes, you have. And I wrote him once, inviting him to.
When was this? this must have been about the time Buck Sherschott was on, because that's when he was, or, yeah, Bill Hollingsworth was on just before.
I used to work with her a lot, programs.
No, Nancy Weibel?
Yeah.
We saw Nancy a while back.
You did?
Yes, she recently married.
Oh.
And her husband was killed in an automobile wreck.
Oh, for goodness sake. Huh.
That's Jimmy Weldon?
Yeah.
He's on the air right now on Channel 52.
Yeah.
Here's Nancy. There's and Candy, her puppet. Here's Jimmy Weldon again. Here's Bill Holly.
I met him in Texas one time, and he asked me if I cared if he did a, you know, a duck, you know. And I said, no, just as long as you don't be Donald Duck or something. By golly, he used my act one time. I heard him do it on radio, on TV it was. Funny. I heard about this. Mary Had a Little Lamb and things like that that I always had done.
Yeah.
Here he is. Is
and
the
trust anybody.
Yeah, well, he's all right. It did bother me.
Sure, isn't that funny?
Oh, yeah. You know, he used to get airsick flying. I was with him in an Aero Commander one time going out to do a benefit out of China Lake. I'm coming back and I was flying right seat, and I'm not a pilot, but I was steering the plane while the pilot was looking up charts, because we had to come in weather. And I heard this horrible sound in the back, and we're hitting those desert thermals, you know.
Oh.
And he's got a plastic bag back there, built with a plastic bag, and he's getting violently sick. And there I said, Bill, I thought you had been with the Air Force. He said, I was. I played trombone. He'd been in a special services outfit.
Being air sick is worse than any. I've had it.
I guess I'm lucky. I never have been.
The container just right. We were flying at a flying ambulance service in Canada. That's when I went up there for Sheriff Biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a fellow from the sheriff's department to manage us up there. He could see I was getting a little woozy, and he came up to me and he had that cigarette lit. And he says, what can I do? Is something I can do for you, Ducky? I said, yeah, put that damn cigarette out. And right then I got sick. Just found it right. Oh, boy.
He was also Commander Riptide.
Yeah.
Here he is today.
Oh.
Doesn't change too much.
No, he hasn't.
Here's a guy who's done so many shows, Skip Ludwig.
Yeah.
He claims to have had the last local live children's show in L.A.
Yeah, I was on it with him. He, as a guest, pitched on the fair. You know what he's doing now?
Yes.
He's with our credit union.
That's where I
met
him.
Managing it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Duke.
Doing a good job, too.
See.
That's Rocky Stanton Rao.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I seem as I've met her.
Here's Fran Allison.
Yeah.
And they never really had any scripts, so this is almost a script made of what they did live. I mean, you know, on the spot makeup kind of thing. Here she is. Here's my Howdy Doody.
I thought they were coming back.
They did
for a while, but I don't see them. Maybe I don't watch TV, all of it.
This you can't see, but it's a Howdy Doody glass that I have. I'm really proud of. And this was the first Howdy Doody. Can you believe it?
Oh, my. Well, there's a resemblance.
Yeah, I've interviewed the man who made the new Howdy Doody. I mean, well, the newer one than that. His name is Frank Paris. This one here. Mm-hmm. And then here's the new one. That's the brand new one that they tried. It doesn't have quite the same feel of the other one. Here's a closer picture.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Art Carney in a special. Jerry Marin was Buster Brown on Smiling Ned McConnell. He was also in a Little Rascals production called Tiny Troubles. Here's
June Perret was in
Richard Clayton.
Dude, did you know that?
In the Little Rascals?
No, in the Buster Brown.
Oh, like, yeah.
On radio.
Her husband had something.
Paul Perret.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote them or produced the show.
Mr. Wishbone, Your Soupy Sales.
Yeah.
Topo Gigio on Ed Sullivan. Here's Jack and Phyllis Spear.
Excuse me, I often wondered about that little character, how that seemed to be working alone. It seemed so small, and he is small.
Mm-hmm.
And the animation, it was so cute.
Yeah, they had the arms on sticks, and yeah, they were done black against a black background.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like they do with Kermit.
But he used to, he used to pull himself into bed and pull the covers off.
Yeah,
he was great.
Really fine.
This is Jack and Phyllis Spear.
Where are they now? Do you know?
Yeah, they have a commercial company here and locally.
They do?
In Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or on the Valley.
Yeah.
And they do commercials now.
They're nice people.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him show up at the press club thing. Here's Diver Dan. And that was work with a lot of string puppets of fish.
Uh-huh.
This was a... Bob Hilton does the morning show here on mm-hmm. Channel 9.
When was he doing the kid show?
Big Charles was, yeah.
And does it have a date on that one?
No. I got it. Huh.
Mr. Imagination. Danny Kaye did a lot of children's specials. Here's Pinky Lee. I understand Pinky Lee is now in Palm Springs.
I wondered if he was still living.
Yes,
he is. I
haven't
heard from him.
You know who's still close with him is Paul Winchell. Still is, mm-hmm. speaks with him. Uncle Milty, he was the... Here's Sheriff John.
Yeah.
John Rovick. And I'm surprised I'm not in that crowd. I can't find myself. But I was there that day.
Huh.
And I was a Whittierite. And this is in Whittier. Mm. And I showed up for him. In fact, I showed up to all of those things. I'm sure I've seen you at
probably a market opening, or
yeah, I can name a few. Yeah. And I've seen Tom Hatton that way most of the.
Yeah.
Here's the plaster birthday cake.
Uh-huh.
One time he came out singing his "Laugh and Be Happy and Enjoy the Day Away," and the set came and hit him in the back of the head, and he had to sing it because you know it was the record, and he had to.
That looks familiar.
It's a patch. Oh!
Who's that, Fergie?
That's probably fine. Yeah.
Is that Harry Reeves?
No, who's that's that? Albert Herder.
What?
Albert Herder. One time I took Salvador Dali and his wife through the studio, and Walt wanted me to take him up to Albert Herder's, because Albert was great in some of the quite unusual artwork. Mm-hmm. And of course, I couldn't understand all he was telling. Dali was talking to his wife about, and Herder told me later on, he says, of course, he didn't know I knew all the languages, he's saying. He got a kick, he knew every word as Dali was talking.
I remember my
dad. Dali was really praising his work.
Talking about Albert Herder, he said, here a guy in a few off moments when he's not animating funny little mice or bunnies or whatever, he did a cross-section of a hand that had been cut off.
Yeah.
And the stump of the arm with every blood vessel and nerve and everything, but it wasn't like a medical drawing.
Yeah.
He said there was some art to it and all, but he was weird.
Yeah.
And obviously knew a great deal about anatomy.
Mr. Tom Hatton.
Yeah, well, Walt had a book, you know, about Albert Herder, and all that money, the proceeds went to Albert Herder's mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
where was that taken?
Money he died. That book.
Huh?
Herder left.
I don't know.
Something like $35,000.
Did you ever do Dennis Mann's Park?
Book.
I guess that was it.
No, that'd probably be a great collector's item.
I don't know where
the hell they just brought out one issue and that was it.
Uh-huh.
Here's Vance with Tom Hatton.
Yeah.
And this is the gal from Romper Room.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That destroyed this lady, this particular girl. Do you know about it?
No, The picture destroyed her.
Oh, no. Okay. No, she was a good gal. She was like a secretary at the station or whatever, and they had a romper room gal, and I forget her name, who had some real problems, like not showing up live, okay?
Oh boy. Yeah.
Or showing up with the worst bar hangover in the world. So this gal was then sort of assisting her, and all of a sudden she became the romper room lady. Mm-hmm. Now, she included in her background, she was a registered nurse and had given that up to be a secretary, production assistant, okay? So suddenly she is a romper room gal and doing a really good job, and I can't remember her name. And all of a sudden, Bert Claster back in Baltimore, and who licenses these romper rooms and has very rigid control. Every romper room lady has to have a teaching credential. It was found out she did not have, and bombed out. And I guess it affected her so emotionally, because she loved what she was doing and all, that somebody told me, and don't print, publish, or whatever, and it's off the record, but somebody told me that she flipped out mentally. For how long or to what degree, I don't know.
You know, the prettiest one of these that conducted the opera room was in Charleston, South Carolina. She was a beauty. I think it was Whopper Room, or she was called Princess Babs or something like that. Her husband is an East Indian doctor, medical doctor. Mm. I met them there in Charleston.
Here's Bill Stella.
A few times.
And this was a good humor truck. And the bit here was they would give the ice cream to the kids half melted already. So by the time they would start to eat it, it would fall, of course. All over their little white dresses, which they were requested to wear for that.
Uh-huh.
And so,
wear a white dress so it blends with the vanilla.
No, wear a white dress so that when the chocolate falls on it, that the audience at home would get a good laugh.
This kid holding that dress there with his arm.
It would run down their hands, you know, get in their hair. And then the cameraman would get close-ups on these things happening.
This little kid having this little girl's
I saw Bill the other night at a party.
Now, you know Dennis the Menace, Jay North?
Mm-hmm.
He was discovered on his program.
He was?
Yeah, here is the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There is the first color picture printed of him.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is donating his train set to the hospital.
Oh. Yeah, I remember that program.
Here he is with Frank Herman, Skipper Frank.
Oh, yeah.
A program called Magic Party. Here he is, in his garb.
I think I was on that Magic Party a couple of times.
Really?
I guess doing, yeah.
This is a Volkswagen bus.
Huh. Not lose.
Believe it or not.
That's quite a big bus.
Yeah, well, he added the front here.
Oh, that's what he
to
did.
Give it the
like
look
a
of a train engine.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you see these things on the side. Those are speakers.
Oh.
And right in front here, they didn't have tapes then, so he played a record of train sounds.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they had the air horns.
Ooh, Dr. George.
To give it more of an effect. And now, once he made an appearance in Watts, and just as he drove up, the kids broke through the barriers, opened up the car door, pulled him out, pulled off his glasses, his hat, his jacket, climbed inside of his van, pulled all the knobs off his dashboard, and stole all of the gifts he had packed in there for this day of personal appearance.
That was
in Watts. And then they ran after him. And he ran into a supermarket that was nearby, and they chased him all the way up to the meat market, where he hid behind the meat counter.
Oh, my God.
And those were his fans, you know.
Oh.
Here's Jerry Marin.
Yeah.
He was little Oscar.
Yeah.
And also, he was a Buster Brown boy. Here's
Billy Barty.
Billy Barty.
I first met him in San Bernardino. He was in Peter Pan play with Rudy Lee.
Yeah, I met him when he was 4 years old, and I
you
was
did?
Seven.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right. You
Dad and he... were working in pictures then, and they'd need a bunch of kids. But Billy was really tiny when he was four. He was small.
Here's the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Mm-hmm. And when he made personal appearances, this time he flew in, and they met him with the Wienermobile, a police escort with two cars behind full of wieners.
I used to stipulate at market openings, when they open the whole shopping center and all, that I would go on before, because he used to give these kids these little wieners, and you couldn't be heard. And I'd say, is Jerry going to be there, or the Oscar Mayer group? I want to go on ahead of that.
This was his press thing he put out. Here he is with Romp Room Gal, and here you are.
Yeah.
There you are, working the camera. John Rovick. And this guy now at Channel 11, who does the, what's his name? Does the,
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.